maybe in a little discussion tonight, we'll be able to run across some things. And how many of you believe that there is such a thing as a devil? Everybody has met the devil at one time or another. He's ill-tempered. He's an evil surmiser. He curses. He snorts. He fights. He drinks. He cheats. He lies. He swindles. He manipulates for his own benefit. He loves the things of the world. He's filled with the pride of life. You ever met anything like that? When you really talk about him, it sounds like he lives on every corner, doesn't it? Well, I was going to say something, but I guess I better not. I don't know how it would sit, so I guess I better not. Chapter 3, Zechariah, let's read this, can we? And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Here's Joshua, he's the high priest. He's standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the gravings thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. All right, now, can I talk with you? Just talk with you? I love to talk with you. Jesus loved to talk with the brethren. First of all here, it says high priest. High priest. It doesn't say anything in the Bible about him being the high priest. But here he is, the high priest. Speaks of Aaron the high priest. There's a great significance here in that we find that God doesn't think as men think. Not only does he call him the high priest, but he says he's in filthy garments. Now it's hard for you and I to fathom the fact that we are in filthy garments from our first birth. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. See, we are in filthy garments. And that's why the Bible said, put on your beautiful garments, O Zion. Even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would say. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But put on your beautiful garments, the body of Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. The garment that's been purged by the fire. I counsel of you to buy of me raiment tried in the fire. That was the raiment that passed through the fire. And he says here, the little mitre upon his head, and then, you know, the one with holiness unto the Lord. And then he says here, I have placed a stone before you, Joshua, and I put seven eyes in that stone.
Seven eyes.
That's really something, isn't it?
Seven eyes.
We're way over in the Old Testament, and he is placing before Joshua a stone with seven eyes. We preached the other night on the stone that was hewed out of the mountain. We brought around at least a few things as to the day that we're living in, and tried to detail a few things that you might understand what is meant by the stone and the different things that's taking place today. But he says here, here's a stone with seven eyes. And then we find over in the book of Revelation that when John saw the beast around the throne and saw the Lamb, he said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Okay, that explains to us what Joshua is saying way back before the coming of the Lord. He says, "This stone, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes." The Bible says here that it was the seven spirits of God into all the earth. The eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. And someone would say, "Well, where are those eyes, Brother Pike?" You're looking at them right here. See them? These are the eyes of the Lord. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Everyone that is born again, they are the eyes of the Lord. And all over the world they are. And they're beholding the good and the evil. They're watching. And someday the saints shall judge the world. And they'll judge it according to all of these things that hath been seen. The Bible speaks of the hour when the books were brought forth. It said, "And the book was open." And then it says, "And the books were open." And the Bible said, "And they were judged out of the things that was written in the books." All right, now, who are the books? The Bible said, "And everyone whose names were not found written in the book of life, that they were cut off." Now, who is the book of life? What is the book of life? The book of life is Jesus. He is the book of life. "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, O God, to do thy will." He was the Word, the book. He was the manifested book. He was the Word of God made flesh. Who then are the books? The members of his body in particular. In that it is books as to the plural, then that means that we are the books, an epistle that's known and read of all men. For he said, "I will write my laws upon the table of your heart, and I will constrain you and cause you to walk in my way." So then it says the book was open, and then the books were open. Then we say, "What do you mean, Brother Pike, the book was open?" The Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That is to say, of his body, of making a new way through the consecrated body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the books. The book was open. At Calvary, the book was open. God sent forth his Son. He sent him in the fullness of time. I preached this to you a number of times. We sang that song, "And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more." So see, in the fullness of time, God opened the book. He brought Jesus. And Jesus hang at Calvary, and Jesus said, "It is finished." That is, the book is finished. It is finished. I finished the book. See, it is finished. He hang there at Calvary, and he said, "It is finished." Whatever God had determined from the foundation of the world, Jesus said, "I have performed it." All of the things he ever desired, all that he ever spoke of, everything from the foundation of the world pointed to me. He said to the Jews, he said, you think you have eternal life. He said to the scribes and Pharisees and the great leaders, he said, but you better search the book. He said, because that book tells about me. You think you have eternal life, but these are they that speak and witness of me. As an epistle known and read of all men, that's what we do. But he wasn't speaking of that. He said, you think you have eternal life. But he said, you better search the scriptures of the Old Testament because they pointed to me. These are they that spoke of me and spoke of my coming. So then we see that he fulfilled the book. Everything was fulfilled in Jesus. And so then the book was fulfilled. And all of the law and all of the prophets and all of the things that were said about the coming of God Almighty. That is God who is a spirit. God Almighty looked down from heaven and God presented himself to Moses and let Moses see all that there was to see of God. He said, I'm God. Take a look, Moses. Now write all of this down in the book about me. And then someday I'll come. I'll come in a human body. And then when I come in that day, then all will know that I am what you wrote about. And like I said, when finally Jesus come, it was such a conglomeration of confusion that they didn't even recognize the book. But he fulfilled the book. And he hanged there at Calvary. And when he lifted up his hands, he said, it's finished. And the Bible said, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And the book was open, and the books were open, and they were judged out of the things that were written in the books. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? When God opened up your life in the day of judgment, and people have to stand and look at the saints of God, and Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto them, you did it to me. In that you did it not unto them, you did it not unto me. And they will be judged according to what they did to us and did not do to us. See, out of the books, the saints shall judge the world. And that's why it says that judgment begins at the house of God. That's why we go through what we do now, to remit men's sins, to bind men's sins, to bless men or to curse men. We have the power to do that. We're son of God to do that. We have the ability to do that. So then we see, and the book was open, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The earth shook, the rocks were rent. The rocks, he said, and upon the rock shall be seven eyes. And so then from that time, the book was open. The book had been closed. Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. And on the back side of the book, it was sealed with seven seals. And the Bible speaks of a seal as being the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of the redemption, or that is the redeeming of your body. And so then it was sealed on the backside. This is again why God said to Moses, Moses, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and I'll let you see my back parts, because no man can see my face and live. So then here Jesus had never died for sin. He had already been slain in the mind of God, but the manifestation of it to take away the sins of the world had never come yet. It had never been manifested. So God said, as to the ministry, you're hid. As to the fivefold ministry, we say, or in the cleft of the rock, or that is within that opening within a rock. For the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? Who is God? It's the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made the Lord Jesus. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld it as that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So then, who is the rock but our God? Upon this rock I'll build my church. Seven eyes upon this rock, and the rock was rent in twain. For the book was open, and the books were open. So then as to the splitting of the atom, as to the potentiality of the releasing of the power, so came the first man Adam, and God rent the veil. And then the potentiality of God was revealed. John saw this and he wrote it in a revelation. 96 AD, just a few years after Calvary, he made an expose of what had happened at Calvary. And he said, I saw the heavens. And I saw the heavens roll back as a scroll. See, a scroll, the book was being opened. The only book they had was a scroll. And so then it was rolled back as a scroll. See, like when you roll up a scroll, you have a scroll, you have a book. And when you roll the first part, then you seal that. Then you roll over that the second part and you seal that. And you roll over that the third part and you seal that down to the seventh part. So it was sealed on the backside because it was rolled over, sealed on the backside. Then the scroll or the book was sealed with seven seals. And when it was open, the veil was rent in twain. And John saw the heavens open, because who was the heavens? God, Jesus. And when the veil was rent in twain, it meant that the spiritual things were now made known. Paul said, now is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God, even unto the heavenly places. And he said, you have this heavenly treasure as to this knowledge in your earthen vessels. We think of treasures, gold and silver. But how much more is the word of God that spoke the gold and silver into existence? So we have this wonderful treasure. So here we are. The heavens have been opened. John saw the heavens open. And he saw that this was a door in heaven. That's why Jesus said to Peter, who do men say that I am, Peter? And he said, well, John the Baptist, a prophet, Elijah, whatever. He said, but what do you think? He said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that. Jesus said, Peter, here's the key. Here's the key. See, you've got the key, Peter. That is, he could have said, you've got the key, Peter, and you've opened the door. See, you've seen beyond the veil. You've seen the Christ. You know who I am. You've found out who I am. You know my secret now. See, I'm going to make you the leader among the brethren. That's why he said, Peter, Satan has sought to sift thee as wheat. Because Satan knew the power of Peter to raise the dead, to walk upon the water, to give a great witness, to open the door to the Gentile church and to the Jewish church. And he said, Satan's desired to have thee, Peter. He wants to get his hands on you. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. I prayed for you. You know, a lot of times when I feel cast down, I feel like things isn't just like it ought to be. And the devil says, boy, you ain't going to make it. I say, ain't no way for me to fail. Ain't no way for me to fail. You say, why? Because Jesus prayed for me. You tell me God isn't going to hear his prayer? He said, I haven't lost one of them, Father. He said, I prayed for these. I haven't prayed for the world. He prayed for Brother Pike. That takes care of everything as far as I'm concerned. So then, the veil was rent in twain. The door in heaven was open because Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. And I'm going to make a more sure way and give you a more sure word of prophecy. And I'm going to rend the veil, that is to say, of my flesh. And I'm going to separate my body from my spirit. Because I've made in myself, as the Acts of the Apostles said, twain too. Boy, made in himself twain. And God rent the veil and he separated the spirit from the body, as I said the other night, so that my body could be dead, in that because of sin, my body is dead. Sin killed my body. Paul said, sin, taking occasion by the law, slew me. I didn't know anything about wrong or about sin. But when the knowledge of the law came, it was the knowledge of wrong that was revealed to me. And then I saw my weakness, and that caused the fear to kill my faith. And without faith, I'm dead in the sight of God. So then I was alive before the law came. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. And that that was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he goes on to say that ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells within you. So then we look at the situation and we say, what is meant by the book being opened, Brother Pye? In the fullness of time, God gathered everything into the ark. That is, as it was with Noah. He said, and these are as the waters of Noah to me. Waters are being likened to people. Some are troubled waters. Some are still waters. David said, the Lord leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. So I walked through this valley of all of the frightening shadows of evil, in that Satan is the prince of this world and the evil powers are all around me. But I don't fear evil. He said, for God, thou art with me. And thy rod is to thy rod and staff, he said, as to thy word and spirit they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me, even as to a feast of charity. But my enemies have to take a bow to me. He said, and in charity, all of these wonderful things that I see, it is a table before me, and it is in the presence of mine enemies. So then the book was open. How was the book open? The spirit separated from the body. Thus the book was open because the veil was rent in twain. Now you that are spiritual, you don't understand that. You could never understand that. How could that be a book? What is he talking about? How could we be books? An epistle read, known of all men. Writing the laws upon the table of the heart. I'm taking away the tables of stone, he said. As to the stone, I'm taking away the tables of stone. And it'll not be hard anymore as to a heart of stone. They hardened their heart in the wilderness, and I destroyed them. He said, but I'm going to place within you a heart of flesh, even flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And I'm going to write upon the table of your heart my laws. And I'm going to bring my love and constrain you and cause you to walk in my way. Paul said, the love of God constraineth me, and I walk in the ways of God. So the book was open. How was it open? It was open at Calvary. It was sealed with seven seals. Moses in the cleft of the rock. Take a look. I'll show you my hind parts. That is, I'll show you everything that's been sealed from Calvary, Moses, all the way back to Genesis and the beginning of the writings. And all of these things you can write about. You can tell about. But you can't see beyond the veil. You can't see beyond Calvary. You can't see beyond the veil. That is, if you did, you would see me as the great light. You would see me face to face. You wouldn't be able to live anymore, Moses. That's why the Bible tells us that we are dead today by the body of Christ. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Dead because of sin. The body is dead. It's been rent in twain. God took the body away from my angelic being, my spirit. And he slew it at Calvary, and he put it away and buried it in water baptism in the lovely name of my Savior. And it's no more I that live today, but it is Christ that's living within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the Son of God. So then I am dead, and I'm no more. And it's not me living, it's Christ living. And I am members of his body in particular. So then I am dwelling where? I am dwelling in heaven. Because the Bible said that Christ, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of all things. And what is heaven? It's the Spirit of God. And what received the Spirit of Christ, the angel of Christ from his body? It was the Spirit of God. So I in Christ and Christ in the Heavenly Father. So I speak unto you, Paul said, as unto spirituals, not as unto babes in Christ. Well, we're way down the trail now. So then my angel went back to God who gave it at death. My body was buried in a watery grave. How could I do that? By the body of Jesus. And he that knew no sin was made my sin. And God slew him at Calvary and buried him in that done away with me. And all I have to do is believe in him and call on his name in water baptism. And I'm hid away with him. And then I come forth in the newness of life. Not me living but Christ. Members of his body in particular. So then the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The book was open. When was the book open? After that it was sealed with the seven seals. It had to be finished. The Bible said, and not one jot nor tittle of the law shall pass till all be fulfilled. And Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle as it is written of me I come. That is, I fulfill every jot and tittle of that which is written of me. Of the book, I am the fullness thereof, he said. Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, for in them ye had no pleasure. But he said, for me you've made a body, even prepared a body. Today, I am the body of the Lord Jesus, members in particular. We are the sheep of God, killed all the day long, accounted for as sheep to the slaughter, and yet the just dying for the unjust. God allowing this as an atonement of the blood.
that of Abel, that he might spare Cain.
And today we're on the altars for God, a living sacrifice, a holy, godly, acceptable sacrifice unto God, which is but a reasonable service in the light of what he did for us.
So then the book was open. When was it open? After that it had been sealed. Had been sealed with the seven seals. In Joshua we hear this. Why Joshua? Because it was Joshua that went over the Jordan. That's to say, getting over the carnal mind, getting over Calvary.
Putting on the new garment, the resurrected garments. In that Moses was on this side, having to do with Jesus, who was made like unto the dirty garments. For he was made like unto my body of sin. See, but on the other side, Joshua, Christ, the great Holy Spirit, Moses folding up the book, laying it away, for the law was fulfilled. And within the body of Jesus, it was folded up and laid away. And then came the rending of the veil. Then came the opening of the matrix of the earth. Then came the firstborn, even the Son of God, the beginning of the creation of God. It came forth, and what was it? It was the opening of the book. From there on, it was made known and demand the manifold wisdom of God out of the book of God. And he said, John, take this book and eat it. Eat all of it. And it was said to you and I, you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. Not some things, but all things. Because the book is open. So then the book is open. From Calvary on down through the church ages, it's open. One messenger come forth. The Bible said the Lamb took the book. When he took the book, he broke one of the seals. And one of these seals were broken, and the unraveling of that page of the scroll. And there it was, thus written is the first church age. Then he took the book and he broke the seal again. And there came forth another church age. Because every seal that was broken was the Spirit. And the Bible said these eyes, these horns, they are the seven spirits of God that had sealed that book down through the years. They had sealed that book. We could go into a lot of things in detail to show it. But they had sealed that book down through the years. Jesus was the fullness of God. He was the one that had the power of all of these. He was the one that stood at the end of the age in the midst of the candlesticks, which he said was the churches of the age. And he was the one that had the stars in his right hand when he said these are the messengers of the angels of the church. Angel meaning spirit. So then Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm in the midst of it. It's not Paul, it's me living. I'm the one that established the Ephesus, the Pergamos, and all of the churches as the Bible speaks of it. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Philadelphia, and right on down as to these churches, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, right on down these churches, he said, I'm the one that established them. It wasn't Paul. I was the one that was living, not Paul. I lived in the midst. Paul could have said, look, I've been stoned to death. I'm no more alive. I've been beat 5 times, 40 stripes, save one. I've been beat with rods thrice. I've been stoned. I've been out in the deep. I'm dead. I'm no more. Man can't survive that. It's Christ that come through all of this. It's Christ living, not me. So then Christ said, I am the one that's in the midst of the candlesticks. Down at the end of the ages, I'm the one that has loosed the seals. I'm the one that has brought forth one church age messenger and another church age messenger and another church age messenger. Every time I loose the seal, I brought to you a church age. I brought to you a message. I brought to you something that you could understand. And I gave it to you proportionally down through the years. And I gave it to you as to generation, that each generation might be kept alive and thrive off of this thing. But he said, now I am in the midst of the candlesticks, and the sun and the moon shall be 7 times. And the powers of light shall be combined and constituted as to a sevenfold light, and I in the midst of it. Why? Because it is the fullness of the church ages. It is the fullness of the seven candlesticks. It is the fullness of the messengers. It is the fullness of my bodily members as to that which I have severally divided myself into, even as the seven locks of Samson down at the church ages. Though it seems to be killed out, though gross darkness covers the people, though Delilah
deceived Samson, yet he prayed to God and the seven locks begin to come back. And as the seven locks begin to come back, he stood and he pulled the mighty pillars down. When Jesus stood there on the mountain and the great pillar, Moses as to the law, and over here the great pillar as to Elijah up the prophets, Jesus stood in the middle of it and Peter cried out and said, build three tabernacles, and Jesus just pulled them down. The seven locks, the strength of the seven church ages. He pulled them down and the voice said, one tabernacle. I dwell in one tabernacle, even in him in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Not in Moses, not in Elijah, but this is my beloved son. I dwell in him in whom I'm pleased to dwell. The original rendering of that is in whom I am pleased to dwell, or I'm pleased to dwell within him. My beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So he said, I dwell in him. He's the tabernacle, John said, the tabernacle of God in the earth. I see the revelation. And he said, the tabernacle in the earth is the body of the Lord Jesus. That is, it is Brother Pike, it is Brother Taylor, his members in particular. But as to oneness, it is Jesus. I dwell in Jesus. Pull down the pillars. And down came the great pillars. Samson reached up and got the great pillars and pulled it down. When he pulled it down, 3,000 people lost their lives in this great arena. When Jesus pulled down the great pillars, 3,000 people was resurrected and added unto the church. The great and mighty Jesus, the Samson of God, the great strong man, the man with power. So then it was the locks of his head, it was his seven horns, it was his seven eyes, in that horns denote power. So it was him. It was the attributes of Christ. Now we're down at the end of the church ages. What is it? The book had been opened. He'd loosed the seal. It was the opening of the book. Opening of the book. The Bible said that they looked through heaven and they looked through earth and they looked under the earth. That is, they looked in heaven to see if any angelic beings was worthy. They looked in the earth to see if any of the dignitaries or people or church folks of the earth was worthy. Then he looked down beyond the earth to all of them that had died, the law, the prophets, everything down there to see if any of them was worthy. And John said, I wept much, said not one man was found worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Then came a voice from the angel and said, weep not, John, for one has prevailed to open the book, even the lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed to open the book. And so then, like the song that I wrote, the chief cornerstone, and the other song that I wrote, that he couldn't find a man to do it, and he said, I had to go down there and do it myself. And so then he come, by his own hand he wrought righteousness. By his own hand, he said, I created the heavens and the earth. No one was there to help me. There was just one, that was me. I did it all by myself. I am God, and I know of no other God besides me. And so then he rent the veil. He rent the veil in two. Brother Taylor sings that song. Let angels adore him, for he hath rent the veil in two. And again, like the song that we wrote, the song of the Lamb. So then he opened the book, and the Bible said, and the book was opened. John said, and the heavens rolled back, the scroll rolled back. It rolled back because the seal was broke on it. And John looked beyond the seal and beyond the scrolls as to the rolling of that was heaven. And he looked right straight through the rent veil at Calvary and looked right in there and said, I see the Ark of the Covenant. That's the tabernacle. Jesus was the tabernacle. And when the veil was rent in twain, he said, I saw the Ark of the testimony of that great temple of testimony of the tabernacle. That is, I saw the ark. That was the ark of the testimony of the New Testament of God. And I saw this within the body of Jesus. I saw it not in the holy place, but in the holies of holies. For I saw this testimony. I saw this ark of the testimony. Where the stones were that God had given Moses in that little ark. And I saw beyond the veil. When it was rent, I saw the ark of the testimony of the temple. The temple part was the holies of holies. Of the temple of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was that part that housed the temple part of it. So it wasn't the holy part where the sons of Aaron went. It was the holies of holies where the high priest went. He said, Joshua, the high priest, filthy garments, I'll take them away and clothe you in the beautiful garments. Put on the beautiful garments. So then we go into the tabernacle by putting on the beautiful garments. Into the tabernacle we go. We enter into the tabernacle. For into the body of Jesus through Calvary, for in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, rent the veil, opened the door into the ark as to the side. Let us go into that wonderful ark. And he has taken us into the blood, into the water. He has hid us beyond the water, beyond the blood, right into the Spirit. Right into the Spirit. He's taken us right into the Spirit. That is, he took us beyond the waters of his wrath, as to that poured out in the days of Noah, shielded us. The Bible said the ark was pitched in God's likeness, inside and out. Well, that is, Jesus was made outside in the image of God, and on the inside he was made in the image of God. That's in the spiritual part. And God done away with the waters of his wrath. And then he done away with the blood. The blood. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. He done away with the blood. After this, he said, you can eat anything that I tell you that you can eat, but don't eat the blood thereof. And even in the New Testament, they were taught not to eat things that are strangled, because the blood is still within them. So then the blood had to be spilled. That is to say, if I eat of the lamb, I eat of the lamb. See, as to the spilling of his blood, because his blood was taken out. The life is in the blood. And the blood was taken out of the body, that I might be that body. For he was made in the image of sin. As the children partook of it, even so he partook of it. He partook of the flesh. He partook of the bones. And then he had a new life, a royal blood, even the blood of Jesus. As to the second generation, as to the regeneration of the new blood of the new life. And so then we come beyond the waters. We come beyond the waters of his wrath. Today the waters of his wrath are no more against us. We sang that song, and God put a rainbow in the clouds. And the clouds are you and I. For the Bible said, in the day of the coming of the Lord, of the rain as to the latter rain, I'll make bright clouds if you pray. There are ill clouds, there are bright clouds. One dark cloud represents evil angels, that of the carnal mind, of those of angelic beings that are intellectual. Satan lives within them to make them dark within their spirit, because that is a dark way. Turn, my people, from darkness unto light. But there is the light cloud, wherein the light of God shines into these clouds and makes them bright. And these bright clouds, I will give forth bright clouds in the time of the latter rain. So God put a rainbow in my cloud. When we see this, we know that by the covenant, God swore that he would never destroy man again with water. And then comes the second. He give them then the covenant to where they could eat that of blood life. And then he brings it on down to Calvary, and he does away with the wrath of the blood. No more wrath of the blood. Life is no more in the blood as to the natural blood, because it's the old red dragon. It's a crooked generation, and God slew it, spilt the blood, done away with it, because the blood is as of corruption. Then he brings forth the third, and he delivers us from the angelic forces of satanic wills. That is to say, of Satan and the infiltration that has attacked our angelic being. This is why Paul said, I seek to present you body, soul, and spirit. That three-phase operation of God as to the Jews and as to the Protestants and as to the church people or the Christians. So then he hath brought us beyond the first. He's brought us beyond the second. He hath brought us beyond the third. And this is what Paul meant when he said the doctrine of baptisms. Have you been baptized in water? I would say yes. He said to them that wanted to be equal to him, can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? That is to say, of suffering? Or isn't there another baptism outside of water, which is called the baptism of fire? For the Bible said, I baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with fire. for his fan is in his hand. That is to say, God will baptize you with fire. We say the spirit of burning, or that is to say the blood that is spilt, indicated the wrath of God is to a consuming fire, and you're covered by the blood, which indicates the wrath of God passed over. The big brazen altar, the lamb of the evening time, sacrifice, where the fire of the wrath of the indignation of God never goes out, burning always against the wicked, and they shall be tormented in the presence of God day and night without release. All right, so we see then what we're talking about. We can see then that God done away with the wrath by putting the rainbow in the clouds. It is no more. He hath done away with that. So today we are free from the bodily sins in the science likened to the body to water. We are free from that. You know, in this world, you've got a bucket of water. You put the water in a little pot. You put it on the stove. It boils. Now, it's still water. When it gets through boiling, it's still water. It's no more than it was to start with. You haven't done anything but what was already done. That is to say, whatever we do is in the foreknowledge of God. And I am water. The biggest part of the body is constituted of water according to science. So then when God puts the fire to me, all I do is transformate into a gaseous form. For the water changes from the molecules of the water and it changes into the steam. It's no longer a potential energy. I can no longer look at it and say, hey, there is power. That's potentiality right there. But I can say it's not a potential energy, but it is a kinetic energy. That is, this energy has been released, this stored up energy, this atomic power force that was within the confines of the molecules of this water, now it has escaped. It's in a gaseous form, and that steam within a locomotive will spin them wheels. See, we are, as it was said this morning, I wore those little things I spoke of, soul power, the man-child caught up to the throne, as Brother Taylor said, God bringing forth a man-child in us, by divine conception of that which is of God. Even the virtuous one is married. So then, I find myself the same as I always was. I'm the same. You know, it was the same Jesus that went into the ground that came up. It was no different. If it had been somebody else, then it wouldn't have been a true resurrection. It was Jesus. But he was in a new form. See, your water changes to the vaporized, that is to the angelic side of it, into this gaseous form, as to the steam. It's the same water. Same body, but now it's an angelic thing. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, went through the process and was made a quickening spirit. So we see that something is happening to us. We're going through a process. God is using us. He's taking us through some great, mighty process, and he's taking the potentiality of godliness within us, in the image of God was we made, in the potentiality of that godliness, and he's converting it. And he's bringing it into a great, wonderful release power to where the Bible said it, now has come power. Now has come power. When the head goes up to the throne, then the memberships are in power. For the head casts out the devil. The mind of Christ puts out the mind of education and the old tree of knowledge and does away with Lucifer. And with this, we find power coming into the church. See, we already have power. For you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, you already have power, but to be able to release the potentialities. See, it's potentialities. For it's Christ within you, the hope of glory. It was when Jesus went into the wilderness and wrestled with Satan for 40 long days and dwelt among the beasts and conquered fear and dwelt out into the darkness that the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He already was God. He already had the power. He was the Holy Ghost. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost made flesh. But when he converted it, then it became a kinetic energy, a released energy. And then he said, I have power over all flesh now. See, to have power over all flesh, all you got to do is conquer one human body. And all hearts are fashioned alike. And wherever you go then, you have power over all human flesh. And the devils and demons that try to work within the flesh, that savors the things that be of the flesh, you just cast them out like that. So you got power over them. Doesn't matter where they're at, rich or poor, female or male. We see then that God has done a great thing. He's opened the book. The book is now open, and now it's made known to us the manifold wisdom of God. He hath loosed the seals thereof. Now we're living in the time of the sevenfold light, the compound knowledge of God. And now we're living in the time of the ending of the days of the Gentiles. You say, how do you know that, Brother Pye? Because the Bible said the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now the time is at hand. Now the time is at hand. Let him that is holy be holy. Let him be holy still. He that is unclean, just it's all over, he said. Let him be that still. Somebody said, oh no, Brother Pye. Oh yes. You say, but Brother Pike, you can't say that. You can't say that. We still breathe. We still talk. We still have a chance. The only chance you ever had was in the foreknowledge of God. What was in the foreknowledge of God, folks, that's all that's being made manifest. The Bible said God gave this to us in Christ before the world ever was. I just come here to tell you about it. If I tell you about it today, that's the end of it. See, if you didn't know about it yesterday, you're all right. But to whom much is given, much is required. If I reveal it to you today, then I can make the end of it right there. Whoever has the knowledge of it, whoever has, John said, I've got the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's it. The time is at hand. So you see, it is not a man that speaks, but it is God that speaks. Let all the world keep silent, for God is within his temple, for the tabernacle of God is in the earth. And it suffers violence at the hand of men. And the violence takes the kingdom by force, as they did the Ark of the Testament in the Old Testament. We see that the book was open. We see that the stone with the seven eyes, that it had to do with the Lord Jesus. And that the veil that was open was the rending in twain as the separation of the two. Even the Lord and the Christ. Even the Lord who gave himself as my sin, and the Christ who went up into the heavenly places to intercede and to make intercession for me. That is to live in my heart, to dwell in the kingdom of God in my heart, and to intercede by living in my spirit and becoming one with my spirit and living within the holy place, even the life, even within the life, the heart, to make intercession to God for my sinful body, because the body is dead because of sin. And the dispute is over the body. The angel said to Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan, disputing over Moses' body. And the body is always the woman. It's the feminine part in the feminine gender. And the dispute is over the body. And ye are the feminine part, and God is the masculine part. So then Christ is making intercession in your spirit for your body, to not to let the devil have it. And he's saying, the Lord rebuked thee. Satan is saying, that's my body. I'm the prince of this world. It's made out of the dust. And the angel of God or Christ is saying, nay, this is not. The first man, Adam, of the dust to the dust thou shalt return. But I came from heaven and I go back to heaven. You're of the world. You can't have this body because this is a heavenly body, an eternal body. And Peter said, as we've borne the image of the earthly as to Adam, the first man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, we have another tabernacle eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That is, as Peter spoke of it, that is to say, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the members in particular. That's what we are. So we don't know what he looks like, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And behold, the book was open, and the books were open. Folks, did you know there's nothing that you've ever done but what it is revealed now? And the Bible said you can't hide nothing, not anything that's been done in secret. You might as well shout it from the housetop, because everything that's in the shadows, everything that's within secret, is going to be made manifest. Turn my people from intellectual darkness to this godly light, Paul. You've got a revelation. Caught up to the third heaven. Your eyes are open. Now is made known to you the manifold wisdom of God. So we see this wonderful thing, and then we could go on and go on talking about it. But we're going to stop right here. I think I said enough that will stir up your minds. The Bible speaks of stirring up your pure mind. You've got one mind that's not pure. It's infiltrated by the powers of Lucifer. That's your mind. And the Bible said don't lean to your understanding. But then you have another mind, and that mind is the mind of Christ. It's called the pure mind. Stir it up. That's what you want to do. Faith is in it. It'll bring you deliverance. All right, let's stand together. Many wonderful things. Many wonderful things. These things you need to consider.
The book
was sealed on the backside because that meant the Old Testament was finished.
The Old Testament, whereas the Bible said if there's a testament, even as to the New Testament, there must of necessity be the testator's death or the death of the testator. So then Jesus sealed it by the death of his body. And now we have a New Testament. And today we are people of the New Testament. Everyone that is under the law is of the Old Testament. And they are under the judgments of God, for no flesh shall be justified by the law. So everyone that comes to Calvary, even beyond Calvary, if you haven't been born again, you're still under the law. Because it's not a matter as of time and of transition, as to days and months and years. It's not a matter of that. That's not what it is. It's a matter of coming to Christ and leaving this world. Because all that's of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust in the world thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, that is to say, it's not a matter of from the garden to Calvary. It's a matter of from the garden until the coming of the Lord Jesus. All is sin, all is vanity, all is vexation of the Spirit. All is worldliness. And only they that are made for the other world escape it by coming to Calvary, as in their life. And then the rending of the veil, and the body is dead and buried, and the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, chooses them out of the flesh. And ye are of a heavenly origin, so then ye return as to a heavenly descent, as to a heavenly raising or going to God. You are his flesh and his bones. He walked through the wall. You have the power of the great eternal life and riches and rulership to break the nations as pottery, ruling with a rod of iron because you overcome. And he that overcometh, I'll give to him to eat of the hidden manna, and he'll rule with a rod of iron. Someone would say, well, I haven't done such a good job of overcoming, Brother Pike. Well, where you failed was, not as of my holiness, Peter said. Where you failed is, the Bible emphatically states that when you have done all that you can to stand, then be strong in the power of my might. Stand, therefore, in the power of my might. That is, you do all you can, and it's required of you, but you're going to stumble and you're going to stand. And you're going to show signs of weakness. But remember, there was no staggering in him. There was no stumbling in him. There was no weakness in Christ. And you are now God's Christ in the earth. You are now his body, his son. And you are now perfect in him. For he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he is sanctified as once and for all by the offering up of that body. So rejoice ye that are in heaven. He hath translated you into the marvelous kingdom of God. As to your spirit and your flesh profiteth nothing, is dead, buried in a watery grave until the great Thessalonian change. Don't have nothing to worry about. He said, you rejoice. Why? How can I rejoice, Lord? He said, because I've overcome the world. How can I rejoice? Because he overcome the world. Because when he overcome the world, God accepted that for me. Because I am a believer in his sacrifice. I have overcome the world. And this is that that overcometh the world, even your faith. That is your confidence in his ability that overcame the world in your behalf. So how can I be saved? I must rejoice. Someone said, well, I'm still saved. That's because you don't believe. That's why serving God is joy. It is when you believe that you're serving God. When you don't have joy, you're not believing. You couldn't be serving God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right, and it was translated by faith. It's a transformation of mind. It is a translation of the Spirit into the marvelous kingdom of God, even into the Spirit of Christ. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It's a spiritual thing. Comprehend the heights, the depth, the width. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you a spiritual sin that you're babes in Christ. I can't. But folks here at Bethlehem, most assuredly, some of you should not be babes in Christ. All right, let's sing a chorus together. I claim Jesus.
first of all. He will answer when I call, for I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Sing it with me. We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call, for we know that we're the children He set free. I am God's own son by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. While we sing this, the altars are open, and if you really feel the way the songwriter did, or I feel, then let's sing that together, and let's really believe it. Oh, hallelujah. I can feel the faith of some of you right now. Did you know that? Some of you understood what I said, and some of you are believing it, and joy is beginning to fill your heart because you're beginning to think, my God, He done it for me, and the devil's been beating me down, and I am as He is, so am I in He. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again. Can we sing it? I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, for I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that. Can you sing it again? We claim Jesus first of all. For I know that we're the children He set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. You know what, folks? Truthfully, I mean this from my heart. You people at Bethlehem ought to be the happiest people in the world. The whole world is waiting to hear from you. The happiest people in all the world. Did you know that? Glad tidings of great joy has come to you. What are great tidings, Brother Pye? Glad tidings of great joy to know that your warfare is accomplished. He said, O Israel, thy warfare is accomplished. How much more spiritual Israel? So then, rejoice forevermore, he said. Somebody said, day after tomorrow, I'm going to live better. Brother Pike, you just watch me. I'm going to do some fasting, and I'm going to do some praying, and I'm going to live right, and I'm going to overcome this thing, and you're going to see joy in my life. Well, I got some news for you. The Jews tried that, and it didn't work, and they still don't have any joy, and you're going to be in the same condition because Peter said, we didn't do this of our holiness. But when you accept His righteousness, and you begin to believe in His sanctification, and say, God, you've made me perfect forever by His works. Then you're going to be happy when you begin to believe that. I said, you're going to be happy when you begin to believe that. That's what faith is. That's what salvation is by faith. See, that's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, I can't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, you'll be lost. You'll be lost. Can we sing that song one more time? I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough. One more time. We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call. For I know that we're the children He set free. Hallelujah. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth.
I claim Jesus
first in that.
Folks, surely you must not know what I'm saying. You must not know what he said. Listen. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I'm a child that he set free. I said, I know. Hallelujah. The Bible said we pass from death unto life. I know. Come on, folks. Do you know? I know that I'm a child he set free. I'm free from the bondage of this world and the beggarly elements of this world. And I don't desire to be entangled again therein, to have my faith all messed up, to take a chance of losing my eternal joys. David said, restore unto me, Lord, the joys of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me thy salvation, Lord. You can't lose the salvation of God if you've ever got it. The word salvation means deliverance. If you've ever been delivered, then you're delivered. Once and for all. If you was in the foreknowledge of God, then that means you was delivered. And you're one of the children that's free from the beggarly elements of this world. But if you have the mind of Lucifer, he's the prince of this world. He's got your body, mind, and spirit in control of the beggarly elements of this world, of the passions of the body, of your intellectual reasoning, of your programs, of your plans, of your goals, of all of your motives, and you're in trouble. Unbelief. You may have will worship to believe with your natural mind. That won't do any good. You've got to believe with your heart. For out of the heart comes forth the issues of life. Because issues of life is as to as a man thinks, as he believes. So it's dealt to him in life. So we're going to sing that again. And I want you to think now. Think. Are you a child that God has set free? Are you a child that God has set free? Sing it again. We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child, ever, the highest honor on this earth.
That's greater than a president's son, a king's son,
greater than being a celebrity. We claim Jesus first of all. He's gonna answer when we call. For I know we are the children he set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me.
You know, it's like a song I wrote one time. We're going to sing a verse of this and just give a little contrast. See, to make you stop and think of the benefits and of the privileges. Our song that we wrote goes something like this, and I'm real hoarse. I probably can't sing it too well, but we're gonna just sing a little bit of it anyway.
The rich man said to Abraham, I see the wrongs I've done. Please send Lazarus to my side and cool my parching tongue. For the days, the nights are endless here, while eternity rolls. Please send someone to my side and take me from hell's dark hole.
Now, let's sing this again. I claim Jesus first of all.
I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus one more time.
We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know we are the children He set free. For I'm God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Let's give the Lord a hand. You see by those two songs, you see the difference. Be happy, folks. You can rejoice. You're not in hell. Be happy. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the others aren't in hell either. Oh, yes, they are. If the Lord foresaw them as ordained, the Bible said, before of all men, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only true Lord God, and the Bible said, and these were before of old preordained unto condemnation. So before Judas was ever born in the world, it said, let another his bishopric take. He was a devil in the mind of God, and Jesus, having the mind of God, said, I've chosen 12. And one of you, you're a devil. I spoke about sanctification. Do you know how powerful that sanctification is? How powerful is sanctification? So powerful that God brought about a sanctification when he called Judas a devil. Can that be? While the devils cried out, being under the sanctification of God, they cried out, have you come to torment us before our time? That is, don't take us out from under the sanctification. But Jesus gave Judas a sop. He said to the devils, go away into the swines. See, by the blood of Jesus, these devils live in human bodies. And because human bodies hath right to life as to sanctification, because of their ignorance, they are sanctified. Unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And of the one that God has given much to, I will require the more, he said. So then it is very obvious that sanctification came even unto the devil. So then, what kind of sanctification is it? As to the allowance of the grace of God by the blood of Jesus upon them in whom the devil dwells because of their ignorance. And the devil had Judas's body, but Judas was ignorant. He did not know. So he couldn't claim it. But his predestination was as unto his end. And so then, when he come to know, then Jesus gave him a sop that was required of him. After he had been with Jesus all of that time, he went out and betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Don't you see how dangerous it is in the place where you're standing today and where the church world is standing today? It's required of you. So we've got to do right, folks. Tell your mother. Tell your father. Tell your brothers. Tell your sisters. Tell them that this is a different day. The church world can't go no more. That's why they're dying. That's why there's diseases. That's why they're getting mixed up in the world and the beggarly elements of the world, and they're not free anymore. It's because of this. Well, we could say a whole lot about that, but we won't tonight. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes. Ask Brother Steve Douglas to come up here tonight. While Steve is coming to pray, I want you to think over the things I said. Come to you, and I try to tell you about these things that it might be a benefit to you. And as we go along, if you desire to learn, if you desire to know, then we'll try our best to do more and more to help you, that you might understand, that you may tell the world about Jesus. But remember, in the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time is at hand. It's required of you. When you come into that world and you come into the great riches of God, then it is required of you. So don't forget now. While Brother Steve is coming to pray, may the Lord bless you tonight. May the Lord heal you tonight.